Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, members. We do not have a quorum, but let us begin anyway. And we do not have the minutes in front of us at this point, so we will most likely approve those later in the meeting. And also, when we do have a quorum, I'll interrupt politely and we'll gavel in officially. So, Representative Schultz, here for House File 2233, please come to the testimony table. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, excuse me, Representative. We officially have a quorum, so we'll begin, and we'd need to move House File 2233.
Yeah, I know. 3 minutes.
I move House File 2233 to be laid over. We have the bill before us. Representative Schultz, to your bill.
Hi, thank you, members. And Chair, this bill, 2233, is for funding for homeless youth in Duluth, Minnesota. And our community is in dire need of more services and more beds for homeless youth. We have about 150 homeless youth on the streets, in cars, couch hopping, being exploited for shelter, and squatting in buildings that are not fit to live in. Life House is here to testify, and they provide primary coordinated entry, access point, and services for homeless youth in Duluth, and they would like to expand and offer more beds. Almost 100 youth between ages 16 and 24 are currently on the waiting list. And at this time, I'd like Maude Dornfeld to present her testimony.
Ms. Dornfeld, welcome. And you may begin your, please state your name for the record.
Maude Dornfeld. Good afternoon. I'm the executive director of Life House, which is a nonprofit agency located in Duluth. And I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak today in support of Bill 2233 for homeless youth housing and services in Duluth. Located in the heart of downtown, Life House is Duluth's largest provider of services to homeless and street-engaged youth. Last year, we connected 660 unduplicated youth to basic necessities, food, clothing, a safe place to get off the streets, and trustworthy adults through our drop-in center. We also provide on-site independent living skills classes, mental health and drug counseling at no charge, and an alternative education and employment program. Lifehouse serves as the primary coordinated entry access point for all homeless youth in our region, and we operate a variety of supportive housing programs throughout the community. Lifehouse prides itself on serving the toughest cases, the kids who've been kicked out of school, who've fled their homes, who've slipped through the cracks of the foster care system, who've been kicked out of other programs, kids who have run out of options, kids who've been given up on. Our staff are hardcore. They are fearless, gifted, highly professional. Over 40% hold an advanced degree or a professional license, and they love street youth. They understand that toughness is a survival skill, and that underneath that hard exterior lies a frightened, vulnerable child. They understand the impact of complex trauma, and they have the clinical bandwidth to manage challenging behaviors and maintain a safe, secure, and violence-free environments for our youth. Essentially, the only reason we ever turn kids away from our housing program is because we don't have enough room for them. There simply aren't enough places to safely house these vulnerable young people in our community. Certainly, progress is being made. Lifehouse has doubled the capacity of our housing program in the past 3 years. But that's really from 16 to 34, so it's not as great as it initially sounds. This includes new transitional housing programs for teens who've been sex trafficked and young adults fleeing domestic violence. Other great projects will be getting underway soon, the Center for Changing Lives and Lifehouse's new program slated for the renovated Gateway Towers in 2018. And this will result in a net increase of about 20 more beds. But right now, there are almost 100 youth aged 16 through 24 on the waiting list for housing in Duluth. And there are only 10 emergency shelter beds designated for youth in Duluth. And this includes 2 emergency shelter beds that are specifically for sex trafficked teens. And only 4 are licensed to accept unaccompanied minors in our entire city. Our Lifehouse staff see firsthand on an almost daily basis the terrible harms that happen to homeless youth when they have no safe place to get off the streets at night. They are preyed upon by seemingly friendly adults who offer them a place to stay. But nothing is free on the streets, and eventually they'll be called to pay in horrific and unacceptable ways. Several of these stories are included in your packets. Many more are, frankly, too graphic for us to repeat. They understand that toughness is a survival skill, and that underneath, there's an acute shortage of transitional shelter beds for unaccompanied minors and young adults in Duluth. Transitional shelters provide temporary housing, ranging from a few days to several months, to get kids off the streets until a vacancy becomes available in the most appropriate program to meet their individual needs, whether that be foster care, a mental health facility, or a transitional housing program. Lifehouse is currently seeking support to develop a new 8-bed transitional shelter program above our drop-in center, The Loft, a new intensively supervised semi-independent living program and workspace adjacent to the drop-in center, The Annex, and a secure outdoor green space, The Commons. More detailed information about these projects is included in your packets, but the overarching objective is to get more kids off the streets more quickly. A transitional shelter program above the region's only drop-in center just makes sense. Of course, safe and stable housing is just the first step. The need for our other programs, mental health, education, employment, and even basic necessities like food, is skyrocketing. Lifehouse served almost 50% more meals out of our drop-in center last year than in the previous year, an effort that's severely limited by our lack of a commercial kitchen. We have virtually run out of space in our current facility. We've recently received a significant multi-year grant to expand our transitional employment program. The proposed annex project provides the ideal space and location for this program. Together, these programs will direct street-engaged youth away from our correctional system and on the road toward well-being and self-sufficiency. We don't give up on our youth. Lifehouse's vision is that no youth will be left homeless, alone, uncared for, fending for themselves on the streets. This bill, 2233, for homeless youth housing and services in Duluth, will go a long way toward making that vision a reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dornfeld. Great testimony, and you are doing wonderful things up in Duluth with the homeless youth, so thank you.
Thank you.
Members, any questions for our testifier? Representative Halverson.
Just briefly to clarify, is this a bonding proposal or a direct appropriation?
Representative Halverson, to my knowledge, it is a bonding proposal, but I'll let Representative Schultz address this.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It is a bonding proposal, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure that's clear.
Members, any other questions? Anyone in the audience that would like to testify on behalf of this bill? Say a few words. If not, actually, I have a question for Ms. Dornfeld. The City of Duluth, what is their participation for the building? What are they willing to put in?
Currently, we are receiving some facilities renovation funds through the City of Duluth to do some of the preliminary renovations for the space.
Very good. Thank you. If there's no other questions, then Representative Schultz, would you you have the final word?
Thank you, Chair. And there is a letter of support from Mayor Emily Larson in your packet, I believe, in your folder. And I want to thank you for hearing the bill today. I've heard many, many successful stories from young adults that went through Lifehouse, and it's a great, great program for our city, and I hope it gets funded.
Thank you, Representative Schultz, for bringing this very important bill to our committee. And at this point, we'll lay House File 2233 to be laid over for possible inclusion. Representative Schoen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but has this been to capital investment already then? Is that where it came from, or if it's a bonding bill and not part of the... Oh, okay, sorry.
Did you hear that?
Can we cancel the question?
Yes, the question is canceled, and you're forgiven.
Rewind the tape.
Okay. Very good. So we'll lay this over for possible inclusion of the ominous.
Thank you.
Oh, no,
thank you.
For the
come to rehearsal next time.
Very good. Thank you. So Representative Halverson, Here you go. Okay. We're going to skip Representative Halverson and go down to Representative Zerwas, if he's ready. He's always, he's ever ready.
If we don't have
Representative Zerwas to the testifying table, please.
If no one has a bill, he should be.
Representative Zerwas moves House File 2344 to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. We have the bill before us. Representative Zerwas, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairs. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2344 is the last of the licensure bills that moved out of the subcommittee on licensure. It deals with orthotists, prosthetists, and podorthotists. Easy for me to say. And we heard this bill in HHS policy as well. We've made stops at government operations and public safety for the criminal penalty, and now we're here dealing with the fiscal note out of the special revenue fund. I have a testifier here today from the Board of Podiatric Medicine who can testify to the fiscal note.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Zerwas. Well, Ms. Grendahl, if you would like to state your name and position for the record, you may begin your testimony.
My name is Ruth Grendahl. I'm the Executive Secretary of the Minnesota Board of Podiatric Medicine. And this is a bill we've been working on for 3.5 years to get language consistent that we are all supportive of, and today is hopefully our last stop. We've been through quite a few committees for the fiscal note. I think the fiscal note is very straightforward. Currently, the Board of Podiatric Medicine has about 250 DPMs, which will be roughly the same amount of the new licensees, maybe a bit more. Their revenues and expenditures are pretty much neutral. Under the in 214, we have 5 years to make sure that the expenditures and revenues all work their way out. So we think we're on target here.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Grendahl. Well, you've heard the term, you've saved the best for the last. So with all those committee meetings. Representative Zerwas, I understand there's an A6 amendment, which is an author's amendment. However, the amendment did not make the deadline. If you'd like to speak on the amendment, that's fine. If not, we can just proceed without it.
Mr. Chair and members, at this time, the A6 amendment, it did not meet deadline. It's one bit of the bill that's still being worked out, and so I will not offer that or discuss it today.
Very good. Members, any questions? Representative Parcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry for being a little bit late, but when I walked in, I just wondered if we'd got Representative Zerwas' name tag up there. It seems like that's where he's going to be sitting and been sitting there for the whole session so far, so I thought it might be appropriate, but just the observation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Parcells. Well, we can have the page grab his name plaque and put it in front of there, or we could etch it in the wood.
I think that's better.
Thank you, Representative Parcells.
Yeah, well, it does show the diligence and the willingness of Representative Zerwas to go to bat for all great causes.
Yes.
Anyone in the audience that would like to speak on behalf of this bill? If not, then Representative Zerwas, any final comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. I want to thank folks that volunteered their time before session to serve on the licensing subcommittee. It's kind of a tough lift because there's a lot of bills that you can't hear and that you can't move forward. I've been, I think, as aggressive as I could be in trying to move bills forward, and we'll see if I am really glad at the end of session that I did that, or really sorry at the end of session that I did that. But had a really great group of folks that I worked with on both from the DFL side. Representative Fisher was the DFL lead, and on the GOP side. And so I just want to thank Holly Iverson, who staffed the subcommittee, and nonpartisan staff and partisan staff that helped out through this process. It's been a huge learning experience for me, and I just want to say thanks to everyone.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Zerwas. There's an old country song. I don't know if it was Merle Haggard, but it says, "The Hardworking Man." So thank you for your good hard work. So with that, Representative Zerwas renews his motion that House File 2344 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails, and House File 2344 will be re-referred to the Ways and Means. Representative Franzen, if you are ready for your bill, we'll have you approach the testifier's table. It came fast, Representative Franzen, so my apologies. No heads up on my end. Representative Franzen moves House File 3436 to be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Franzen, to your bill.
All right. First, I have two oral amendments, Mr. Chair.
All right. You can, why don't you go ahead and address your oral amendment?
All right. I'd like to delete line 1.3 and insert requiring a report to the legislature and governor. And I'm simply deleting this because it's a correction that is needed to line up with the report requirement language in subdivision 4. It is not the DHS commissioner who is preparing a report, but instead the task force in cooperation with the commissioner.
Okay, members, any questions regarding Representative Franzen's oral amendment? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
All
Representative
right.
Franzen, would you like to address your bill as amended?
I have one more oral amendment, Mr. Chair.
Right, you said two.
That is correct.
All right, you may go ahead, Representative Franzen.
After line 2.11, insert, consider options for conducting exit interviews with providers who leave the child care field or choose not to be relicensed. Do I need to repeat that? Consider options for conducting exit interviews with providers who leave the child care field or choose not to be relicensed. Got okay. That, Representative Schumacher?
Okay, members, we're going to have staff write that amendment up and make copies, and we'll get that to you so you can address that. But based upon just our audio, is there any questions from members? Please note that that will be printed and then handed to you later on in her presentation of the bill.
And this amendment.
And then we'll adopt, I'm sorry, Representative Franzen.
Mr. Chair, sorry.
And then we'll adopt that amendment at the time, so I won't call for a vote on that now. Representative Franzen.
So this amendment lines up with the language that was added to the bigger child care bill, House File 3433, to the task force section in the Health and Human Service Reform Committee, and it was unanimously supported.
Very good. Would you like to address your bill?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair and members, for taking the time today to hear House File 3436. In February, the new Select Committee on the Affordable Child Care was formed based on stories we had heard around the state about the lack of availability of care and the high cost of receiving child care and providing it. Our committee, which included Representative Jeff Backer and Representative John Purcell, who sits on this committee, came together to truly listen to the voices of parents, providers, and communities to learn about the issues facing child care across the state. We engaged with about 200 people in 7 communities, and Representative Hamilton and Representative Schumacher attended one of the meetings in Worthington. What we learned confirmed stories we have heard in each of our districts. The loss of over 3,000 in-home providers over the last decade is putting pressure on families who can't find care and is putting economic strain on communities, especially in greater Minnesota, that can't attract workers because child care simply doesn't exist. At the same time, child care costs tend to be high for families even though income has stayed the same for providers over the years, because running a child care business can be costly, time-consuming, and requires lots of sacrifice. This is a very real experience for families in every part of the state. Our committee took into account the voices of each and every person who talked to us on tour or contacted us. We worked to come up with short-term and forward-looking solutions in response to the great dialogue we had. The bill before you would create a task force to look into long-term solutions relating to cost and access with all voices at the table. Based on what we've heard across the state, the issue of cost and access is complex and needs careful vetting and unpacking while ensuring our nation-leading quality and safety standards. We recognize that with such a short time period from our last tour on March 2nd to today, we cannot change the entire system, but we can start. And we are making a commitment to our state that we are in this for the long haul. When child care thrives, our state thrives, and it is truly the building block of our economy. We have received great feedback from child care providers on this legislation, and now I'd like to introduce you to Tracy Stengel.
Ms. Stengel, welcome to the committee, and just for the record, would you state your name and your association?
My name is Tracy Stengel, and I'm a licensed family child care provider from Mankato and also the president of the Minnesota Association of Child Care Professionals. Good morning, Chair, Dean, and members of the committee. MACCP is a voluntary association of licensed family child care providers whose mission is to strengthen the family child care profession by advocating for policy improvements, offering additional support and services to providers, and by promoting family child care as an exceptional option for quality care and early childhood education. MACCP supports House File 3436, a proposal to form a task force that we hope will address the many issues contributing to the high cost and the shortage of child care across Minnesota. When the Select Committee on Affordable Child Care held town hall listening sessions across Minnesota, they heard directly from parents struggling to find and afford child care. They also heard from providers struggling with increasing demands of running a licensed family child care business, including increased paperwork, increased training requirements with redundant material, ever-changing regulation and changing interpretations of existing regulation, increased burden and requirements for the provider's family members, higher operating costs, increased liability yet fewer options for liability and homeowners insurance, an increasingly adversarial oversight process at times with the Department of Human Services and some county licensors, layer after layer of bureaucracy that can make getting an answer to even a simple question or clarification on a rule or statute unnecessarily difficult. These increasing demands have played a key role in the loss of thousands of child care providers over the last decade. We can't have affordable and accessible child care in Minnesota if we cannot find a way to stop this continued loss of providers that has averaged out to be more than one per day over the last decade. We also need to find ways to bring more loving and qualified caregivers into this profession. As a family child care provider, I can tell you firsthand how heart-wrenching it is to have been to hear the desperation in the voice of parents when they call and cry to me because they've contacted dozens and dozens of other providers and no one has room for their children. And as difficult this has been for providers, with thousands shutting down and others operating with uncertainty or fear, it's nothing compared to what parents are facing, knowing that they cannot provide for their families without working, and they cannot work without finding child care. This is a complex issue, and the Minnesota families and providers alike deserve well thought out and properly vetted solutions to turn this around, and we believe this task force can be that solution. We encourage the committee members to take time this legislative session to reach out to parents and caregivers in your district to hear firsthand the struggle it can be to find child care. Providers and the families we serve need your support and assistance in resolving this child care crisis, and you can take the first step by voting to support the formation of this new task force today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tengel. In front of us is the oral amendments done old school way. I like that. So we did approve the First Amendment, so we'll approve the Second Amendment, but is there any questions on the Second Amendment? And this Second Amendment, not the Second Amendment.
I was going to say.
Whoa, what a debate here.
That's a whole other conversation.
It is. We'll do that tomorrow or Friday, yes. So if not, all in favor of the Second Amendment, oral amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? See, I told you so. Motion carries. Okay, with that, is there any questions for our testifier, Ms. Stengel? If not, anyone in the audience who would like to address the bill? With concerns or not, in favor of? Seeing none, Representative Franzen. Any questions, members, or Representative Franzen? Representative Franzen, you have final words on this.
No, it's a good bill.
Good bill, very good. So I will renew my motion that House File 3436 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Motion prevails and House File 3436 is re-referred to the General Register. Thank you. Oh, it's Representative Franzen's motion and as amended.
As amended.
Thank you, Representative Franzen. Ms. Stengel?
Thank you.
Okay, next on the list is Representative Halverson, House File 2767. Okay, Representative Halverson moves House File 2767 to be laid over. We have the bill before us. Representative Halverson, welcome. And to your testifier, welcome. And you may testify on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm here today on behalf of the Homeless Youth Act of 2016. I know that this is a familiar topic to many on this committee because we've been talking about it for a number of years and have, I want to say a big thank you to this legislature and previous legislatures that have provided the first real funds toward the Homeless Youth Act in our state's history. And I want to say a thank you as well to Representative Wills, who has carried this bill in the past. She asked if I would take this one up this year because she has a lot on her plate. So I am very pleased to be a partner with her in this effort. You all know very well that we see thousands of young people on our streets around the entire state. And the funds that have gone to the Homeless Youth Act over the past few years have really made a difference. And so we're here today to close the gap on funding. When the Homeless Youth Act was first passed in 2007, a study was done that said it would take about $8 million to fund programs appropriate to stop the cycle of homelessness for young people. And we have gotten to that $8 million threshold, but because of the grant requests that have come in from around the state to the Department of Health and the grants that are ready for funding to put programs in order, to expand programs, we see the need to put an additional $2 million of funding for this. It's a theme that you hear a lot from me. This is smart spending of our resources as a state, because if we do not stop the cycle of homelessness among our young people, we put people at great risk. At risk of violence, at risk of long-term homelessness and poverty, at risk of run-ins with the criminal justice system because they have nowhere to go. We can do better, and we have done better and seen tremendous success based on the Homeless Youth Act. A few things you guys should probably know, and I think it's important for us to think about who these kids are. They're not young people who have a spat with mom and run out of the house one day. We've all been teenagers and had those kind of family conflicts. These are folks who, about half of them, experience violence in their own homes. Their homes aren't safe for them because of drug use, violence, or they might be at risk of predators in their own home. When they leave their home that isn't safe, they go out to a world where they're at risk of predators, and with about in the first 48 hours, a homeless young person will be approached by a trafficker. So take that in. The fact that we have need places for these guys to go is incredibly important. A couple of great successes that I've seen from the Homeless Youth Act is the way that this money has leveraged other resources in the community and support from communities. Brooklyn Avenues is a great example. They built, I can't even remember how many beds are in the shelter in Brooklyn Park, but I went to the grand opening, and one of the things that struck me about that is that They also were able to raise funds from their local Rotary, their local chamber, local businesses. The entire community stepped up to make this happen. But it wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have been able to come in with their plan supported by the Homeless Youth Act. Another great story of how these resources are leveraged is that this summer there was a drop-in center opened in Apple Valley in a local church that the Link was able to put the program together so that we could create this drop-in center in the suburbs. And those are two suburban examples, which I think are important. I took this on because I knew that youth homelessness was not a city issue. It's a statewide issue. And about 63% of the greater Minnesota requests that we've received through the Homeless Youth Act have been funded. Obviously, there's more requests out there. And about half of the Twin City Metro requests were funded. So you can see that the dollars are being spread around statewide. I can tell you a lot of success stories, but I'd rather hear you have you hear one yourself from Mindy, who is from my community.
Thank you, Representative Powerson. Ms. Paris?
Thank you. Paris, thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mindy Paris. I am a former Lincoln Place resident of the Link. Approaching my high school senior year, my family no longer qualified for subsidized housing assistance, and our landlord didn't renew our lease, so we were evicted. The Link since has provided me with a home, a chance to pursue my education, which I've always dreamed of doing, emotional support in times of crisis, events and opportunities for me to go and get involved in my community and gain contacts, like Representative Halverson, career opportunities, educational and community events on-site and off-site, either just to have fun or something that is touching on a very serious issue. I have graduated from Normandale College with 2 associate degrees, and that was last spring, and 2 months ago I have moved out of Lincoln Place into my own apartment and have transitioned completely off of assistance. I am currently employed by Dakota County CDA and the Link part-time, and I have also interested employers inquiring after me still. They have all seen me speak at events and share my success story. Honestly, this is something that I can believe in because I believe that every person, no matter what challenges they have in life, extreme or not extreme, they deserve to pursue their own destiny, no matter what it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. You are a shining example of hard work, perseverance, and the ability to reach out and let good, loving people help you. So, wonderful testimony. Is there any questions for our testifier or our author of the bill? Anyone from the audience who would like to address the bill in favor or concerns? Representative Halverson, would you like to have final word on your bill?
Well, I would love to have a final word. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This issue is near and dear to my heart, and it's very clear that when we invest in kids who are already taking care of the most basic needs in their own life, that they flourish with just a little bit of help. And so this $2 million will go a long way to that help. And we all know that people need a place to go when they're in crisis, and we have other parts of our system that don't have a place for people to go. The mental health crisis is one of those situations, and if we can make sure that people have a place to go so they're not going into the criminal justice system, so they're not, because homelessness isn't a crime, and they're not at risk for trafficking, they're not at risk for additional health and mental health issues, we can save our state a lot of money and make sure that our young people have the brightest future that they possibly can. So I thank you for your consideration and support, members.
Thank you, Representative Halverson, for bringing this very important piece of legislation to our committee. So House File 2767 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you.
All right, we have House File 3419. Representative Mack is pinch hitter for this one. So with that, I'll make a motion to move House File 3419 to be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Mack, would you like to address your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, I am presenting this bill on behalf of Chair Dean. And this bill basically allows DHS to apply for federal grants in order to address issues that we see in our state around maternal depression and chemical dependency and substance abuse for pregnant women. And so basically what this bill does is we'll have the department apply for those federal grants and then administer the grants to address those challenges. And Mr. Chair, we do have two amendments that need to be put on the bill.
Very good. Representative Mack, I do understand that you have an A1 amendment as an author's amendment. I will move, Rep. Mack moves A1 amendment. Do you all have that in your packet? So, any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Oh, Representative Mack, would you like to address your amendment?
Explain. No, Mr. Chair, it's just a technical amendment recommendation from the department to get the bill in shape.
Very good. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, I understand there's an A2 amendment as well. It's an author's amendment. Rep. Mack moves the A2 amendment to your A2 amendment. Representative Mack, is it just technical as well?
Mr. Chair, I believe it is. It was, and this amendment is actually from a suggestion from NAMI, who wanted to see this change made. And so, and my understanding is Chair Dean working with the advocate, this amendment is to address some issues brought up by NAMI.
Well, they do good work, so I'm sure it's a good amendment. Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is changing the reference to maternal depression to pre- and postpartum mood and anxiety disorders. And I understand where that can pick up a broader range of things. But we've really done a lot of work to try and, over the years, to increase awareness of maternal depression and to destigmatize that and to have it taken seriously. And, you know, I'm just a little worried if we talk about, you know, mood disorders, once again, it takes it back into, oh, you'll just get over this, when it can be a very serious issue. So I'm just wondering if, and I don't know that I see Sue Abderholden here either, to explain whether or not this is, you know, to broaden it, to destigmatize it in a different way. But I know in the past, I've worked on this. In fact, I carried a major bill on maternal depression a few years ago. And it was really, at that time, people were dismissing it as, oh, you'll just get over it. It's just the baby blues. And it's much more serious than that. And it can become, you know, more debilitating if you don't deal with it. And so I'm just a little concerned about putting a new terminology into statute that I don't know is broadly endorsed. So I know you're pitch hitting Representative Mack, and the author isn't here, and I don't see Ms. Abderholden, but I am concerned because I have never seen this kind of a phrase being used when we've really been increasing the awareness of maternal depression as an actual thing, not a minor adjustment to the delivery of a child.
So, Representative Loeffler, since Ms. Abderholden is not here, neither is the author, we understand and recognize your concerns, and I suggest that after the meeting, you can get together with Ms. Abderholden and talk to Rep. Dean as well to discuss your concerns.
Thank you.
Sound good? Representative Murphy, to the amendment.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll pass until we get to the bill.
Very good. All in favor of adopting the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Now we have the bill in the author's desires. So is there anyone in the audience who would wish to testify on the bill? Anyone? All right. Let's see. Representative Mack. Oh, Representative Murphy has a question. This would be a good time, Representative Murphy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm very patient. Mr. Chair and Representative Mack, to the extent that you can, I'm just wondering if you can help us understand what the scope of the funding for this could be. It's just I appreciate very much the proposal. I don't know very much about the federal grant offering, so I don't know very much about what we might be expecting or how this would play in the budget.
Okay. Representative Mack.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if it might be helpful if there's anyone from the department here who might be able to speak to some of the federal programming that's available that could give more accurate information to Representative Murphy.
Sure. As they approach,
I think that might be more helpful.
Testifier, thank you, Representative Mack. Yeah, my understanding is there's two federal grants available, so this bill would just get us in line to be applicable for those. To that, would you say who you are and who you're from for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Melissa Finnegan. I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Health. Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, I don't have information currently about what federal grant funds might be available, and unfortunately the program staff who would know that could not be here today, but I will be happy to follow up with you with that information.
Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Ms. Finnegan, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Finnegan. And DHS is here as well to say a few words.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Brian Zervis. I'm the Deputy Director of the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division at the Minnesota Department of Human Services. My understanding of the federal grant, that this bill would align DHS to be able to apply for the federal grant and dollars if that became available. And the dollars would be administered out of the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division. The priority areas outlined in the bill are in line with current grant funding that we provide for pregnant and parenting women.
Well, thank you, Mr. Zervis, for clearing that up for us. And Representative Murphy?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And so maybe for you or for Representative Mack, because what it looks like we're trying to do is put ourselves in a position to be able to apply for grant funds. We wouldn't see something in the budget anticipating the reception of the grant funds. Is that accurate? And Holly is nodding.
That is correct. Holly, right. Yeah. I knew that answer. I can see behind my head. Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Zerwas, then I'm even more confused because my understanding of maternal depression or anxiety or whatever terms we're going to use now is that it is not terribly correlated to alcohol or substance abuse. It's a common thing that happens with women who do not use those things in their pregnancy. And so is the federal grant you're referring to actually more targeted to women who have had issues with chemicals in their life? Because there's nothing in this language that references that.
Representative Mack?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll also defer to the department here. But Representative Loeffler, my understanding is that Section 1 of the bill is for a grant program that would screen for maternal depression, and then the second part of the bill deals with chemical dependency issues. So there's kind of two parts to what this program does, and my understanding is there's federal grants that align with both of those goals.
And Representative Loeffler, go ahead.
So, Mr. Chair and Representative Mack, then your impression is that this first section is not to come out of that substance abuse area, but out of the Department of Health or some other portion of the state agencies?
Mr. Chair and Representative Loeffler, that is my understanding, that we're kind of looking at two different streams here, getting at two different goals when it comes to...
That clarifies it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Any members? Questions? Mr. Zervis, thank you for your great knowledge in clearing up the situation. Anyone else in the audience who would like to testify on behalf of the bill? If not, I will renew my motion that House File 3419, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Mack. We also have the minutes that are in front of us now, so would Representative Backer.
So
moved by Representative Backer. Is there a second? No, we don't need a second. Mason's rules. Okay. All of those in favor to accept aye. The minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Representative Schumacher. Opposed? Motion carries. Aye. And then I want to make an announcement. Announcements. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, members, our schedule will be meeting in the evenings on Tuesday, Wednesday evening.
What?
Also, to add further good news, we will also be meeting most likely on Friday.
Are we going to meet normal?
I said most likely. Holly says it's most likely.
Does that mean we can't talk during the week and we might not meet on Friday?
Means cancel your appointments for next Friday.
Nope.
So I need a motion to adjourn them, Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know you're filling in, but perhaps Holly there could help give us some clues, since she seems to know the schedule, to get a better understanding. We know the budget targets were just released, and there was a zero target for us, but some hints about reallocating federal money, and I'm wondering if we have any sense of what topics you intend to take up when, if it'll be primarily focused on the bills we've heard. You know, do you have a sense of the agenda at all for even next Tuesday?
Things move here quite fluidly, as you know, Representative Loeffler. Most likely we'll be hearing bills that are still in progress and moving.
But we'll talk to Mr. Chairman. We'll pursue this as well with the regular chair, too, to just as he's envisioning the week so we can play our part as well.
They'll change. They'll be fluid for him, too. But, yes. All right. Since there's no business in this meeting, we are officially adjourned.